Music is one of the few languages that can often transcend cultural differences. You may be more familiar with a style of music because of your background, but that doesn't mean you won't be able to relate to another genre that may seem on the surface remarkably different. Despite the long traditions of the Navajo Nation and its music and storytelling, one very modern kind of tune is extremely popular, and it may surprise you: heavy metal. There are hundreds of bands on the nation that channel metal and use it as a means of expression and a way to deal with societal challenges. The Navajo band I Don't Conform addresses environmental polluters in their song EPA. Ashkan Soltani Stone and Nat Zappia have collaborated on a book about that. It's called Res Metal, and they're with me. So, Ash, why is there a passionate audience on the Navajo Nation for heavy metal?
One of the things about heavy metal in general, there's this notion that heavy metal is a very negative thing, you know, and leads to a lot of, you know, mental issues, suicide, etc. However, I think one thing that I found as a heavy metal fan myself, it's very unique about it. I call it more like as a form of constructive anger. And something that, you know, allows people to really find a way to relieve that anger in a more constructive ways. That's why I think heavy metal has been very popular in society and community that going through some sort of oppression. And I think in case of Navajo Nation, there's like what heavy metal offers in particular is a way to express themselves in a very constructive way, but also connects the youth together because, you know, Navajo Nation is spread out. Mm-hmm. It's the largest indigenous, you know, territory in the United States. And one of the things that this heavy metal music scene offers is to bring all this youth together and it brings them a sense of community where they can express themselves and deal with certain issues that it's relevant to their everyday experience.
I think people think of music and storytelling as being a bonding thing, but heavy metal obviously is a different generation of that. Does that fit in with any traditions?
What I think is so interesting about metal and other musical genres too, you know, kind of to get to your question, is that in a Navajo context, but in any indigenous context, it's, you know, a lot of times there's this question of assimilation, you know, selling out tradition versus adopting the foreign culture, whether it be art, music, food, etc. And all the bands that we've interviewed for the book, they all said the same thing. Metal is indigenous. Metal is Navajo. There's no contradiction. You know, for some there is who are kind of anti, you know, maybe just like any group of people who see metal as kind of a, you know, they don't get it. It's like loud, it's violent, it seems violent, that kind of thing. But when you're in that scene, you see that it's even beyond the therapy part, it is an expression of native culture.
Actually, the nature of heavy metal's music, which is very drum-driven, it's very similar to a traditional Navajo music. And I think that's something that also could be very appealing to the Navajo youth.
Is this seen as something that is important, again, to younger generations, to have this release but also have it part of their own identity? But in any way, is this a way to spread information, to spread knowledge about Indian country or the Navajo Nation or Navajo communities to the broader U.S.?
I think both. I think it's not just a few bands. We're talking about like hundreds of bands across the reservation and, you know, in other parts of Indian country as well. So there's a full kaleidoscope of motives, I think, you know, and interests, but there is both the internal, kind of the local politics, if you will, that comes in the lyrics, but then there's definitely an external. I mean, that was my sense from the interviews and meeting with folks that, again, this is indigenous, but it's a voice in the lyrics. They want to get this message out. They want to connect with the larger society, you know, through music and other native communities through music. See a lot of similarities with other kinds of genres, you know, from food to, you know, there's indigenous chefs that are using traditional ingredients, right, for their internal audience and community to affirm their culture, but then also as they see themselves as liaisons, translators with the larger and kind of a promoter of their culture. So I got the sense that that was, and then this is what's great about music, is that you could it's both a way to express your internal culture and also a way to connect with the larger culture and have, you know, dialogue between and across communities.
One of the misconceptions about the Navajo youth is that, you know, they're very disconnected with modern modern things, modernity. And I think one of the common things that you hear a lot of, you know, musicians would say, you know, that, well, Navajo music is, it's more than just power and flute and, you know, the harp in the background. And that's something that you hear quite a lot. And I think I just want to tell the story of a group of musicians, you know, that are, you know, are happen to be in a Navajo nation. And I think we can also, you know, credit the internet, you know, because of that internet, they have the platform to showcase their work, but also reconnect with different bands and promote their work internationally. And I think that was the reason that, you know, Flemming Rasmussen, you know, the Grammy Award winning producer of Metallica, was very surprised when he heard the demo reel of one of the bands. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really, you know, inspired him to travel and to see it for himself, what was happening over there.
What is the next level of impact for this? What does the next level of impact need to be? Does it have to turn into something bigger? Or can it be what we've discussed, that something is... that is an outlet, that for certain artists it is going to become something bigger, but if it stands as just an expression of angst, of culture, whatever it may be, or does it need to take that next step and have a bigger impact, and do you think it will?
It's what, where Native people want to take it, right, where the communities want to take it, and I think this is what a lot of these kinds of stories, you know, kind of like the hidden in plain sight type of story, or the kind of like, wow, I didn't know that type of story, is the, you know, then the question is, the outsider, someone who's not from the community, would say, oh, you guys should do this or this or this. This, what's different about now, I think, is that because, as I said, with the internet, and there's more of an awareness generally than there was, let's say, even 30 years ago of the non-native, you know, not a Native America, a little more nuance. And therefore that now there's an opportunity to have this intersection of Native and non-Native through art and other forms of expression.
Just to add to that, what I really we're hoping to achieve is to inspire people to look at you know, the Native issues through a, you know, a larger and broader lens.
We should also mention that current president of Navajo Reservation, he's a big time metalhead, and he's a he's amazing.
That's also something else that they're mentioning, that, you know, the government, there's a gradual change in the government, and that's why they let, you know, people use the government facility to have metal shows and etc. So I think that's also an indication of, you know, things are changing.
Ash Khan, Soltani Stone, and Nat Zappia are co-authors of the book Res Metal.